Welcome to the Drinking with the Saints podcast with Mike and Alexandra Foley,
where each week we mix a bartender's guide with the lives of the saints to help you celebrate the feasts of the calendar with liturgically correct cocktails.
Let's get started.
Welcome to the Drinking with the Saints podcast. I'm Mike Foley.
And I am Alexandra Foley.
And happy Feast of Pentecost! I can't believe we haven't done this feast already.
Hold on. We should be like...
Could you explain that?
That's the Pentecost wind, obviously.
I thought that was a mighty wind. All right.
That's the same thing, Mike.
Okay.
Isn't that the mighty wind?
Saintly Sippers, we are super excited to be back. Holy cow, do we have possibly the best podcast ever. I have some surprises for Alexandra.
Oh, I love surprises.
It will be kind of cringeworthy, but it will still be good.
I'm sorry. It's going to be cringeworthy?
Well, just stay tuned.
All right.
All right. So let us begin in our customary way. Stay with us, O Lord, for it is getting towards evening.
And bless our drinks and our conversation.
Amen.
Holy Spirit.
Have mercy on us.
Fill the hearts of thy faithful. You failed that one.
Kindle in the fire thy love.
Send forth thy spirit.
And they shall be renewed.
And thou shalt renew the face of the earth.
Let us pray.
No, we're not going to do the whole thing. But high five. That was kind of good.
Instruct the hearts of thy faithful. Sure. By the light of the Holy Spirit and by the same spirit, may we
always rejoice.
And be filled with this consolation.
Amen.
I think we kind of got it.
It was pretty close.
The Holy Spirit is forgiving.
I think it bears mentioning that this is not my first drink of the night. We'll get to it in a second, but this is actually a dessert drink. And so Mike plied me with a before dinner cocktail.
I'm afraid I did.
And then we had dinner.
Yes.
And now we're having a dessert cocktail. So that was like, it feels really good.
It is delicious, but I'm afraid that I could not make it live. The recommendation for Pentecost, we have several recommendations, but one of them is called the White Dove. It involves amaretto. White creme de cacao.
Cacao!
2 cups of ice cream, chocolate syrup,
mm-hmm.
Whipped cream, and a cherry. And you put most of those ingredients in a blender. So I did 2 scoops
I love
of ice
that you're
cream.
Like most of the ingredients?
Well, you don't do the whipped cream and the cherry, obviously.
I know, but...
So you put most of the ingredients in. I did 2 cups. No, I did 2 scoops of ice cream rather than 2 cups. I didn't want it to be too filling. You put them all into a blender, blend until smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take chocolate syrup. You line the inside of a snifter glass with chocolate syrup. Mrs. Foley has strong opinions about chocolate syrup. I'll let her talk about that in a moment. And then you pour the drink into the glass and you top with whipped cream, and you garnish with a cherry.
Mm-hmm.
So we will post photographs of this, but we didn't do it live because who wants to hear the sound of a blender?
Me.
The sound of a shaker shaking is, of course, electric.
Sublime.
Exactly. But, you know, so anyway, we have prepared our drinks.
Cheers. This is our first sip. I'm so excited. Why is yours bigger than mine?
It's the whipped cream.
Sure.
Cheers.
Cheers. Holy Spirit, that is good. Oh my gosh.
And it's super light on the liquor.
Mm, great.
But so sweet and delightful.
You have some whipped cream on your nose.
Yeah, you've got a mustache as well.
Can I, like, just to defend my position, you wanted to do this dessert drink before dinner for the podcast, and there was no part of me that wanted to have like a really sweet and filling thing before the delicious meal I made.
Well, this is why it's important to have a good wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your good wife is going to just get that little
whipped
cream off your nose.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, when you have a long nose such as I, dips into the snifter, kind of like one of those...
the beaker.
Bird, like the beaker bird that dips down. Yeah, it's a blessing and a curse.
Oh man, we are feeling good.
So Alexander, tell us about your philosophy of chocolate syrup before we move to the great feast of Pentecost.
Oh, great. I'm loving having been on the spot for having a philosophy of chocolate syrup. I think most chocolate syrups that you buy are disgusting. And so I was shopping today and Mike said, "Can you get all these ingredients and buy chocolate syrup?" And of course, we don't use chocolate syrup very often too. I'm not going to let it like take up space in our refrigerator, which is very limited. So I just make chocolate syrup with chocolate chips and cream. And I think this recipe was a quarter cup of chocolate chips, 2 tablespoons of cream, warm it. We actually microwaved it. I add salt because I love salt all the time. And then a little bit of vanilla. And yeah, let's taste it off the side.
It truly is delicious. Alexandra has also not mentioned that she has a crazy animus to high fructose corn syrup.
Not a fan.
And it all has to do with a government conspiracy to make us fat and ill.
Well, it doesn't even have to be.
I just made up that last part.
Which one? The fat part or the ill part or the government conspiracy?
The government conspiracy.
Because I'm kind of, and I'm, yeah, well, you're kind of revealing
all my
things. For the
record, we're not QAnon. Like,
I'm crunchy.
Crunchy, yes. Yeah. But conspiracy, no.
No, but yeah, the government should get out of our corn.
They should.
They should.
This, I'm tired of subsidies.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Anyway. Sorry, we didn't mean to go political, friends.
I need more of my drink.
One other thing about the drink before we move on to the Great Feast of Pentecost. Mm.
So good.
It called for 3/4 ounce of white creme de cacao. I'm afraid I did not have a bottle of white creme de cacao, so I used the brown. So I'll give you a secret. There are several different colors of creme de cacao, and the color does not affect the flavor at all. It's just for aesthetic reasons.
Oh, so it's like just dye? Well, do you want to tap into that a little bit?
I know, I know. So this is the almost white dove. It's not as white as it should be because
it's gorgeous.
The brown creme de cacao has made it a little more dun than white. However, because it doesn't affect the flavor, it's still good. So one of the burdens of being a mixologist for Drinking with the Saints.
Oh, how you suffer.
How I suffer. How we suffer is that we have a cabinet filled with almost 100 bottles of booze.
That can't be true.
All right, 50. But the thing is, most of them are like only 1/3 full.
If that sounds
because like... For Saint Day on such and such a day, you use 1/4 ounce of this liqueur, and then it sits there for the rest of the year. I'm sorry if I have contributed to this problem among you.
I was just going to say, like, you're speaking a problem that you are the progenitor of.
But what was my choice?
Is that a word, progenitor?
What was my... Indeed it. But what was my choice? Recommend a martini 365 days of the year? Okay, maybe. But... Variety, like that'd be a very thin book. I wanted to provide variety, but variety comes at a cost.
The closet space cost.
A lot of liqueurs that you don't use very often. So I'm not going out and buying a brand new bottle of white creme de cacao when I know that the brown tastes exactly the same.
It's also just not what we're about. We just want, like, we want people to have cocktails, a variety, but not be so precious. Just have a good cocktail. But may I be precious for a second?
Of course, my precious.
This drink is so good. Mm. It is incredibly sweet, though.
Yeah.
Could I ask you to go downstairs and get
vodka?
Oh, you laugh.
What do you want?
I want vodka and I want ice cubes.
Oh my gosh. I thought you were kidding.
No, I totally want. It needs a. Mike, so
this is going to be a riotous night.
It's
all
it
right.
Is.
We'll be right back. Well, we're back with the vodka and the ice.
Almost. Hold on. I can hear this.
A lovely fizz.
Was that that was less than an ounce, but...
All right, I will join you in the forbidden fruit, pouring myself a little more. I brought the bar spoon, if you wish to stir.
I'm going to stir. Also, I'm not a huge ice cream person in general. I love sweets, don't get me wrong. I'm not one of those people who are like, I don't even really like sweets. I love sweets. But ice cream, you know, sometimes like it hurts my tummy a little bit. But there's nothing like vodka to get through the pain.
Absolutely. Everyone says so.
I think Aristotle said that.
All right. So we really do need to talk about the Feast of Pentecost.
Yeah. Hold on.
We're going to give you everything you need to know. Mm. And then some. We're going to introduce you to bizarre and beautiful customs. And the surprise is maybe even a little song.
We're gonna sing.
We're gonna ask Alexandra to sing a solo.
I've been to Georgia.
No, that has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. So, why is it called Pentecost? Penta.
Okay, 5.
50.
That's what I said, 50.
You were so close on that one.
But come on, like pentagram. But yes. Real quick, I got to say this. I love your drink. I'm sure your recipe is great. Some people will love it. You're perfect in every way. But I'm just saying the little ounce of, not quite an ounce of vodka, it's much better. All right. Also, it's going to last longer. It's kind of a little small drink. It was too sweet.
Okay. All right. We have to track.
I'm focused.
The Feast of Pentecost.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's the 50 days after the Easter. Passover. We're talking about the Jewish feast.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Tracking.
So the Jews kept the Feast of Pentecost, it was 50 days after the Passover, and it was their Feast of First Fruits.
I honestly don't think I knew that the Jews had a Pentecost.
Yeah, it's, the Feast of Weeks, but it's the Feast of First Fruits. And how marvelous did God prepare the Jewish people and us for this feast? Because talk about first fruits. When Peter got up Sunday morning, Pentecost Sunday morning, and preached in languages that everyone could understand, he converted 3,000 souls.
Wow.
So talk about a feast of first fruits. And then alcohol figures into the story. Because when he preached, some members of the audience mockingly declared,
"You're drunk!
These men are full of new wine." Now, that's an extra dig, because new wine is nasty wine. Mm-hmm. It hasn't aged properly. So the only people who drank new wine were winos, people who were just drinking to get drunk. It was like the wino with Mogan Davish. Yeah, that sweet wine that winos were once famous for drinking to get drunk.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Mogan
Davish. I feel like it's a California thing. I think I've heard you talk about this.
No, there's like a country song about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So
again,
not
I
just
mentioned California.
California thing.
I'm from Boston.
Dissing really my California background.
Moonshine is not something I know either, Mike. Manischewitz, I get.
Oh, maybe it was Manischewitz.
No, it's not Manischewitz.
All right. So St. Peter's response is telling. Does he declare his innocence by condemning wine and strong drink? Does he express disgust at the thought of alcohol touching his pious lips? Hardly. "We are not drunk, as you suppose," St. Peter says, "seeing it is but the third hour of the day."
Which
translation, of course we're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But after we baptize 3,000 souls, it's Miller time.
It's Mogandika time, exactly, or whatever that thing you're trying to say is. So third hour of the day is 9 o'clock,
yes,
because the first hour of the day is 6.
Yes, because that's when the dawn happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So kind of funny. Hey, I just love his defense. Like, it's only 9 o'clock.
He's not day drinking's fine, but
12 o'clock, 5 o'clock, he's not denying that. But like 9 o'clock, no. But, you know, later.
Do you think right now St. Peter is like, "Oh, come on, Mike. Mike.
I'm only quoting the words of the Holy Spirit. Do not judge me.
I'm sorry, but I have to say, my new vodka enhanced drink is so good.
That's your new spirit.
This is the kind of drink you can have one of and then you're done.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, one of the things that we love about the Feast of Pentecost is all the crazy and wonderful customs that surround it. Not a lot of these are still done, but it's still fun to think about. In churches of Europe, there was a thing in the roof over the nave called the
Oculus.
Okay, so the Oculus is the big hole in the Pantheon.
Yeah.
We'll circle back to that.
Circle, get it?
Oh! But other churches, designed much later, had what was called a Holy Ghost hole. And the Holy Ghost hole would open up, during the Mass for the Feast of Pentecost, when the magnificent sequence Veni Sancte Spiritus was sung. And while it was sung, people would go to the roof, open the Holy Ghost hole, and they would light little wisps of hay on fire, and then they would put them through the Holy Ghost hole so that the lit little bits of hay would flicker down and imitate the first Pentecost.
Oh, tongues of fire.
It was a magnificent custom.
No problem whatsoever.
The only problem was that some people's hair caught on fire.
That shocks me to no end. I cannot believe that that would go poorly.
Wear a fire retardant veil and suck it up.
Douse your veil, ladies, exactly. In water, not vodka, before you get there. How hard is that, ladies?
It seems so obvious.
Right, men, shave your heads.
But they discontinued it. Can you believe that? Where's
Prudes.
The fun in that?
Yeah. They're killjoys.
So the current custom that's held in Rome is that during the Feast of Pentecost in the Pantheon, which is this magnificent Roman temple that has been converted to a Christian church.
Heard of it.
Massive hole in the middle. And the Italian fire department takes petals of red roses, scales the top, and puts in red petals, red rose petals, during the Veni Sancte Spiritus.
That's so beautiful.
So I want that. I want that in every church in America. I do prefer the lit hay.
Sure.
But I will settle for the rose petals.
Okay. What if we could dry the petals and light those on fire? They'll smell like incense.
I like the way you think. Pentecost was also a great day for drinking beer. There is a form...
Whip beer.
Close. Whitsun ale.
Whitsun, yeah. Like
so one of the nicknames... One of the nicknames of Pentecost is Whit Sunday.
Right.
Why would you call it White Sunday, Alexandra? The liturgical vestments are red. Why would you do such a thing, Alexandra?
Because that's when the catechumens who had become Catholic at Easter, they would take off their white vestments, their white...
You're really close on this one.
So the catechumens, got that right?
Yeah.
Catechumens wearing white would put them on?
Yes, for the vigil of Pentecost. So you conflated two traditions.
I feel like I'm going to conflate a lot tonight.
I still love you. So when catechumens were baptized at the Easter vigil, they'd put on white robes. They'd wear them for 8 days.
Yeah.
And then they would take off the white robes on quote-unquote Low Sunday.
Knew that.
Thank you.
Quasimodo.
Dominica in albis de ponendis. The Sunday of taking off the whites.
Ponendis is taking off?
Yes. So that was a tradition. However, there was another tradition of baptizing people on the vigil of Pentecost.
Oh.
And so those folks
Which makes sense. Like the conversion of all these 3,000 people.
Of course, baptism, what have you. Yeah. So.
The new. Okay.
So they would put on white robes when they were baptized on the vigil of Pentecost and then wear them on Pentecost Day. So the White Sunday is not about the liturgical vestments in the sanctuary. It's about the neophytes wearing white. So that's why it's called White Sunday. And it's called Whit Sunday in Old English. And there is a tradition of Whit Sunday ale, which today we call summer ale.
Oh, but, I forgot that. Yeah, there's summer ale. Like wit beer you can get a lot of places.
Wit beer is wheat beer.
Oh, come on.
I know it's complicated. Beer is complicated, but I'm just saying Whitsun ale was a summer ale. And there actually was a microbrew in Michigan. I don't know if it's still doing it, but they had a Whitsun ale that we tried when we lived in South Bend 20 years ago, and it was really good. So if you can find Whitsun ale, go for it. If you can't, a summer ale will suffice.
Speaking of really good, again, my drink is so good now. Just, you guys, just a jigger of vodka and you can hear me. It's so good.
You're going to love the last part of this. But anyway, some other fun customs. The Germans also drank Pentecost beer. They also love to name things after the Pentecost season. Their name for a red peonies was the Rose of Pentecost.
Pentecost Rose, of course.
And their name for an oriole bird is the Pentecost bird.
Hmm.
So
Aren't there a lot of flowers? I was a florist. Aren't there a lot of Pentecosty flowers?
I only know of the peonies, but...
Okay. I'll go back to y'all.
All right. And finally, there's a wonderful Ukrainian tradition that you adorn the exterior of your house with green branches. Why?
Because you put the branches on your house and you can like hear the wind going for the Holy Spirit. Right?
You got it.
But then what about going outside on Pentecost and in the early morning and feeling the dew on your feet?
Alexandra Grace Ryan Foley, yes. You just stumped me. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, I remember the last couple of years, I've been the only one up in time for the dew.
So there is a wonderful tradition that on the morning of Pentecost, you sneak out in your bare feet and you feel the dew on the grass. And the dew of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost is supposed to have special healing powers. Even so much that some farmers back in the day would like scoop it up and make sure that the livestock fed off the dew because it had healing properties.
We should actually just like scoop some up and sell it for profit. No, that's so sweet. I think it's such a lovely tradition.
Yeah, the dew lasts about 2 minutes in Texas.
Yeah, it's actually, sometimes it's hard to actually get the dew.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it's in June.
Yeah,
in Texas.
I know, exactly. Thank you for bringing up that wonderful tradition, because you're quite right.
You're very welcome. I don't know what else you want to say, but my spiritual reading, Divine Intimacy, is so good. I think I've mentioned it before. If you haven't heard of it, Google Divine Intimacy. It's beautiful. It goes through the traditional calendar. Every day there's readings and colloquies, and it's just, it's so perfect. But it's just talking about the importance, a couple days ago, the importance of preparing for Pentecost. Preparing your soul for the Holy Spirit coming to you, because the Holy Spirit will come, but you know, if your interior house, your soul is cluttered, you can't really find a place for you. And so the importance, especially from Ascension to Pentecost, of ridding your soul of attachments to venial sin, ridding yourself to creatures, ridding yourself of those things, so you truly can prepare for the incoming of the Holy Spirit. And that just really moved me. And I'm a loser. I really want to do that this year. Really want to prepare well for the Holy Spirit to come.
Same here. And there is a way in which all Christians, Protestant and Catholic, neglect the unique mission of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, like we kind of take the Holy Spirit for granted, for sure. I definitely feel that. I remember a friend saying like, I love the Holy Spirit so much. And I was like, yeah, me too, whatever. And she had a real devotion to the Holy Spirit, which just seemed weird to me. And I've thought about that a lot. I want to be mindful too of answering the call of the Holy Spirit in my life.
Oh my gosh, you just reminded me of a beautiful prayer that was composed by Pope Pius XII. And if I remember correctly, Pope St. John Paul II prayed it every day, and the last line to the Holy Spirit was, and prevent me from the misfortune of resisting thine inspirations.
Yeah. I think about that so often.
If today ye hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
I think that so often as I'm actually denying.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, you should do this, and I'm like, shh. I'm shushing the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reminds me of a cartoon I once saw, husband speaking to his wife, I just had an epiphany. How do I make it go away? Yeah. Or as Bernard Lonergan once put it, the dreaded undertow towards holiness.
Mm-hmm. That's right? True, right? You're kicking against the pricks.
We're scared of it.
Yeah. Right. We don't want, like we're always holding back because we just are kind of like, well, God, will you ask too much of me?
Yeah.
Can I wax on about my retreat this past weekend?
Alexandra went on a wonderful retreat.
You guys can't see
through
my...
Through the agency of Miles Christi. I'm wearing sunglasses because her halo is so
like
bright.
So bright. But truly, it was a beautiful... So Miles Christi is a order that started in Argentina, I think in the 70s. Don't hold that against them. but they have a charism for spiritual direction in general, and then specifically towards college students. And I know I look like one, but I'm not a college student. but we've been through the graces of some friends of ours who've been exposed to Miles Christi priests, and they have retreats all over the country, though they're not as all over as they want to be. And I went to a beautiful, beautiful Ignatian silent retreat for 3 days, 2.5 days, through Millis Christi. And I would just adjure you, like, find a retreat. But this was a really, really high quality retreat, if you can find it. And it was just so good to get away and be silent, as from me. I'm sure you can. I'm sure our listeners can imagine that I don't do silence very well. But I just came back so refreshed, and I feel ready and invigorated for Pentecost. And look up Millis Christi if you have a college student who needs spiritual direction too. They do that. They do it via Zoom. They do it in person. But that's their charism, and everyone needs spiritual direction. So look them up.
All right. Thank you, my love.
And also support them.
And now comes the surprise segment of our podcast. Something that Alexandra doesn't even know about.
I thought we were done. I was like wrapping it up.
Pentecost was traditionally a day of dance and merriment.
Dance?
And song. So we cannot dance for you on a podcast. But there are two songs that I wish to play for you. And I don't know how this will work with respect to the audio, because we've never tried this before on the Drinking with the Saints podcast. But there was a lovely country western song from 1961 entitled On the Wings of a Snow White Dove. And it was about the dove of Noah and the dove that descended on Jesus Christ at his baptism.
Aww.
On the wings of a snow.
All right. Sorry. It's me again. I just love that song. And it's really slightly cheesy, but you know, like the chorus, when you're feeling tired, you know, the way that those sort of songs went, but I really like them.
That's sweet. I'm kind of flying myself. On the wings of a dove.
All right. So that one is more religious, but there's a wonderful mariachi song.
I keep waiting for my song.
Una Paloma Blanca. And it really has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. It's okay, about a white dove being free. One white dove.
So Paloma is dove?
Paloma is dove.
Oh, Paloma. We have a friend named Paloma. We love her.
Hi, Paloma. Hi, dove. So, not terribly religious, but it has a soft spot in my heart. Because one time I went with my parents to a Mexican restaurant in San Diego. And they had three mariachi players that would go from table to table. Mm-hmm. And my parents aren't with us anymore, so it's kind of a sweet moment. And they came to the table, and I've been dining with my parents for many years. And normally we didn't have roving bands come to our table. My dad was a bit of a stern man, so I didn't know how he'd react. Mm-hmm. But he was so magnanimous.
He came up,
and then my mom said, they say, what would you like us to play? And she said, there's a song about a dove.
Oh, what a great memory. I never heard this, Mike.
And he said, Una Paloma Blanca? She said, yes, I think that's that. And they broke into song. And I still remember the face of this elderly Mexican man. He had these wonderfully flared nostrils. I don't know why I remember this. But he sang his heart out. And, well, I have a soft spot in my drunken heart for this song.
That's really great, Mike. Could you translate?
Yes. Wait for the chorus. Oh, it's so festive. Oh, la paloma blanca, I'm just a bird in the sky. Oh, paloma blanca, over the mountains I fly. Yes, no one can take my freedom away.
Oh.
So, saintly sippers, you've probably heard too much from us today, but we wish you a feast of Pentecost filled with a song, merriment, a little bit of drink, and above all,
add vodka.
And above all, the Holy Spirit. God bless.
God bless. Come, Holy Spirit. Good night.
Good night. Thank you for joining us. Please get in touch with us via email at podcast@drinkingwiththesaints.com.
Or on our Instagram page at Drinking Saints. And find Drinking with the Saints book series at drinkingwiththesaints.com or wherever fine books are sold.
The Drinking with the Saints podcast is produced by Back Row Media.